Hey, Right Gear listeners, just an FYI. If you stick around until the end of the podcast, there's a special offer from PenChalet.com just for Hologram Radio fans like yourself. The Right Gear, episode 17. Evernote for Writers number 4. Using Evernote for Research. And welcome to The Right Gear on Hologram Radio, a podcast for writers that's all about the digital and analog tools we use to write. From computers and apps to pens and journals, we explore them all. I'm your host, K. Tempest Bradford, science fiction and fantasy author, freelance technology journalist, media critic, and lover of gel pens. This is the 4th episode in our series on Evernote. Last episode, I talked about organizing your Evernote in preparation for this episode, which is all about collecting your research. Be it web information or data from books and journals, this is the thing most writers use or want to use Evernote for, and it's also where the app can get a bit overwhelming. Now that you have some strategies for keeping notes and notebooks organized, it'll be easier to keep research material from getting out of hand. This week, we'll once again hear from authors M.K. Hobson and Aude Conan on how they use Evernote for research. So get a pen and paper, or open the app, and get ready to take notes. Evernote is particularly suited for helping gather and organize web-based research. But before we get into that, I want to remind you how it can be useful for old-fashioned paper book research as well. One of the reasons I started this series on Evernote with an episode on page capture is that it had so much impact on the way I research in libraries. I was never good at research to start with because no one ever taught me how to do it efficiently. And I got annoyed when I had to hand copy passages from books, especially when I couldn't afford to make the copies of all the pages I needed. Evernote changed that. Whether you're using reference material that you can't take out or don't want to check out a book if you just need a sliver of information from it, the ability to scan pages as text in high enough resolution for reading and searching is amazing. And when you do so, you can use some of Evernote's tools to highlight passages or circle things or whatever your markups you want to do, which is something that you can't do with paper books from the library. And the search function that Evernote has for searching in scanned documents is so, so useful when you're going back through research trying to find a nugget of information. I also don't want you to forget that you can store other media in Evernote as well. So if you're doing research by visiting a location, try keeping the pictures in Evernote, or at least the most important ones. Maybe your research involves interviewing or just having informal conversations with people. You can record audio right to Evernote, or you can record that audio using whatever app you choose and then add it to Evernote later. Now, media like this, it does take up more space, and that may mean upgrading Evernote, but I'm going to talk about that later. The bottom line for now is that Evernote can be a great research companion offline and on. And online, it's super useful.
The web clipper, which I use literally all the time. It is the way I save things on the web now. So that's just fantastic.
That was M.K. Hobson, author, podcaster, and Evernote enthusiast. The web clipper she's talking about is an Evernote extension or add-on for browsers. It works with Firefox, Chrome, Safari, Opera, and Internet Explorer. But really, stop using Internet Explorer. Anyway, once installed, you sign into your Evernote account, and then you can start clipping web pages.
So on a weekly basis, I must use Evernote as part of my research. So every time I'm online and I stumble into an article or a website or blog or anything that can be relevant to the research I'm doing, I just put the article on my Evernote account. And then later on, when I'm writing, I just read the articles that I've got on Evernote and the pictures as well, because I also put pictures on Evernote, and also the scans that I've got that I also put on Evernote. And I browse through all these research material to get more inspiration or more details about what I'm going to write.
That's Aude Conan, author, playwright, and journalist. I love the idea that she not only uses Evernote to store research, but to also sort of use it as a thing to browse through to get inspiration. Using the web clipper on desktop browsers is very easy, but also very detailed. Each version has many settings, some that you can set in the browser and others that you can set in Evernote itself. And I encourage you to explore these. But let me walk you through the basics. When you click the icon to clip a page, the web clipper gives you several options for how to do this. You can either clip it as an article, simplified article, full page, a bookmark, or a screenshot. And each of these does slightly different things. If you choose article, the web clipper will try to determine which parts of the page are actual content and not the sidebar, ads, and stuff like that. You also get an opportunity to choose which areas of the page to save if the automatic thing has not quite gotten everything. The clipper then saves that content and preserves the way it looks on the original site with fonts looking the same way and images and all of that. Simplified article also tries to determine what on the page is the content, but strips it of the non-essential styling to make it a pretty basic text document with text formatting and the images. Full page is just that. No trying to pick out the specific content you want, just everything on the page as it looks more or less on the website. With each of these options, the note you save is now an archive of the web page at that moment. If the page updates or just disappears, your note is not going to change. Now, bookmark just saves the title of the page and the URL in the note. And I use this when I just want to make sure I remember where a web page or website is, but I don't need access to the content that is on that page or site all the time. Screenshot saves an image of the page as it is on your screen. You can also choose to save just a portion of the screen as an image, and there are a few markup tools if you want them. Those options come up no matter what page you're on, but some pages make extra options pop up. For instance, on Gmail, LinkedIn, YouTube, or Amazon, a special option will appear that clips in specific ways. Amazon links save not just the info about the book or her other product, but also reviews. Gmail clipping gives you the option of saving the email and its attachments. YouTube clipping is similar to simplified article, where you get just the video and the description, but not much else from the page. Whatever type of clipping you choose, you will have the option to save it to a specific notebook and add tags to it. And in the clipper settings, you can change the default notebook or the default type of clipping. I do simplified article 90% of the time, and some other stuff. Make it so that when you clip, it's easy, smooth, seamless for you each time. Because if you really get into it, clipping is going to be part of your browsing life forever. As M.K. Hobson mentioned, this is the way she saves things on the web now. Web Clipper replaced my browser's bookmarks for me. I used to rely heavily on Chrome's bookmarking function because I liked that it synced across desktop and mobile, and my same bookmarks would be on all my computers. That was really great. However, categorizing bookmarks wasn't easy, and searching them when I only had vague notions of what the title might be proved to be really difficult. Evernote solved that entire problem for me.
As you're researching or as you're writing on a scene, you may go off and, you know, I'll go to Google or whatever and search for something or you know, try to understand, you know, where a building was because I write, you know, historical fantasy. I'm trying to figure out pieces of color or things, bits of historical accuracy that I can put in there. And I'll go and do my research and then I can clip those web pages and save those in the same writing notebook with the same tags. So it just makes it really easy to do kind of everything you want to be able to do and store everything you're doing on your phone while you're kind of out and about and moving.
The way web clipping on smartphones works is you don't need to install anything but the Evernote app itself, nothing extra. Once you do, you can go to a web page in whatever browser your phone uses and use the share function to share to Evernote. Now, depending on the operating system, this is going to work a little differently. On Android, once you share, the Evernote icon comes up on the screen and there's a little animation as it's clipping, and by default, it makes a bookmark note. But if you tap the icon, this brings up some options, like you can change which notebook the note goes into if you don't want it in the default notebook, you can add tags, and you can tell the app to save the full article instead of the bookmark. Unfortunately, Android doesn't have the simplified article or other options. The iOS version of the Evernote app doesn't offer the ability to clip the whole article, which iPhone and iPad users have been complaining about. There is an app called ever web clipper that will allow you to do that, but it costs $3 and has pretty low ratings on the iTunes store. And I am real sorry, Windows Phone people, but it looks like the share function doesn't work at all on your smartphones. This is sadly a song you know by heart by now, though. And this is something to consider when deciding if Evernote is going to work for you or if you're trying to decide what kind of phone to get. This is not a big thing. It's a little thing. But if you're going to use Evernote steadily, if you're going to make it like an integral part of your writing life, it might be that little thing that pushes you towards one platform or another. Because that's often it. It's often not big things. It's often like that one little thing that you really need to do with your phone that makes you go, well, if I can't do it on Windows Phone, I have to get an Android phone or an iOS phone or whatever it is. And for some people, yeah, this is going to be it, because the ability to save the whole article, whether you're on desktop or on mobile, is key for some people, like Old Conan.
I always save the whole article, and I always, it's really mandatory for me to be able to access Evernote offline, because I traveled a lot, mostly for work. So I, when I'm taking a plane or when I'm on the train, I need to be able to access my Evernote notes. So it's always the whole articles, the whole pictures, the whole scans, the PDF documents.
Aud reiterated later in our conversation the bit about offline access being mandatory. So she pays for one of the upper tiers of Evernote's service. With the Evernote desktop apps for Windows and Mac, you can access all your notes offline even if you're on the basic plan. That's the free one. But to get offline access on your smartphone, like Aud does, you need Evernote Plus or Premium. If you're likely to always be somewhere with a strong signal or access to Wi-Fi, you may not ever need the offline access on your phone. But if you're often in dead zones or you're trying to write sans internet connection to minimize distraction, then offline for mobile may be a good investment. There are a couple of other features available only on the paid tiers that could make them worth shelling out money. Evernote Plus gives you 1 gigabyte of upload access per month, as opposed to the 60 megabytes per month you get on the free tier. Now, if you're going to do a lot of page camera scanning, then you'll want that extra space. No matter what tier you're on, you get unlimited storage, but the upload access is just about how much you can send to the service each month. Evernote Plus costs $25 per year or $3 per month. Just in case you were wondering if you're looking at the Evernote website, the per month price is not obvious, but it is available still. Evernote Premium offers 10 gigabytes of upload quota per month, which is plenty for even the most heavy page capture users and great for people who also want to save other images or audio files and other such big things every month. Premium also adds the ability to search inside the documents and attachments you add to Evernote. And you can also annotate PDFs. This is very useful for research purposes. So Premium costs $50 per year or $6 per month. Unless you know for sure you'll need the Premium tier features, I suggest going with Plus at first and maybe on a monthly basis just to see if it matches how you end up using the service. And no matter what, you can always go back to Basic, which has plenty of great and useful features. One more thing I want to touch on before we leave Evernote behind for a little while is using it in conjunction with Scrivener. If you're a Scrivener user or have just looked into the app, you may have clocked that many of the research functionality of Evernote is similar to what you can get in Scrivener. Many writers love having their research right in the same application as their writing, so why split it into two different ones? There are a few reasons actually to do so. First, Evernote's search functionality is far more robust than Scrivener's. Between tags and notebooks and saved searches, you're going to be able to more easily find exactly what you need in Evernote and quickly. Second, Scrivener doesn't sync all that well across non-computer devices, and it isn't available as an app for Android and Windows Phone, and even the iOS version still isn't out of beta yet. And even at that, it may not be that easy to flip between writing and research on the iOS app as it would be if they were just separate apps. Third, Evernote is better at saving web pages than Scrivener. The Mac version of Scrivener can pull in web pages in full that look somewhat like the live versions. But despite some documentation that says the Windows version can do this, it really can't at all. Like, it's a travesty. So if you're on Windows, the only way to get similar functionality to the Mac version is to do it in Evernote. But even at that, if you pull in a ton of research from the web, your Scrivener file or folder is going to get really big. Plus, there's no page capture or handwriting recognition or any of that stuff. There is a way to make Scrivener and Evernote play well together. If you have the Mac version, then you can import single notes or a whole notebook into your research folder by creating a link in Scrivener, then pulling that link in as a live web page. In the show notes, you'll find links to some how-tos on how to do this. In the Windows version, you can use those same links to create document or project references. This way, you can tie a specific note or whole notebook to a document in the research section of Scrivener so that you can always click right to what you need. And again, the how-to on this is in the show notes. This is the last in our Evernote series for a while. I have touched on most of the major ways writers can use the service, but there is a ton more to discover, and we'll return to this in later episodes. And hey, if you have a question about Evernote, how to use it, or an idea for a future podcast on it, please contact me. You can do so on Twitter by tweeting at WriteGearCast, WRITE as always, or you can email me ktb@thewritegear.com, or you can leave feedback on this episode. Just scroll to the bottom of the post on www.thewritegear.com and click the feedback button. You should also check out the YouTube channel we have for The Write Gear, where I'll be posting a new Evernote how-to video every day for the next week. There are already some up there dealing with page capture, and more to do with the web clipper on desktop and mobile are coming up. So visit the website or look in the show notes for a link to the channel. Before I sign out, I want to thank MK Hobson and Oud Kunan for sharing their insight on Evernote. Also, big props to Jamie Todd Rubin, whose Going Paperless blog you should definitely look through if you want to get deep into Evernote and use it well. Click on all the links on all their websites and read all the books and all the articles and watch the videos and tweet at them to let them know how great they are. I also want to give a shout out to PenChalet.com for supporting this podcast and the listeners. If you go to PenChalet, which is spelled PenChalet.com, and then you click on the radio podcast button at the top, and then in the box that appears, type the special code WRITEGEAR, then you can get 10% off your order of fountain pens or ink or anything else on the website. This offer is available to WriteGear listeners until June the 7th. And as always, I want to thank my Patreon supporters who make this podcast possible. If you found this or other episodes valuable and want to support, you can join us, either by going to patreon.com/ktempestbradford and becoming my patron there, or by going to iTunes, if you use iTunes, and giving us a rating and or a comment. iTunes isn't the only place to subscribe to this podcast either. We're also on Google Play Music, or you can grab the RSS feed from thewritegear.com and drop it into your favorite podcatcher. And you want to subscribe, because I have a ton of great interviews that I recorded at the Nebula Weekend and at WISCON, and those are coming up on the podcast, and you do not want to miss it. So subscribe. Until then, I'm Kate Tempest Bradford, and I challenge you to get all those research links out of your browser's bookmarks and transfer them to Evernote. Post haste. The Write Gear podcast on Hologram Radio is written and edited by yours truly and produced by head hologram Alex Knight. Our logo was created by Cosper Ashley Emma and made colorful by hologram Michael Norton. Our theme music, Kill Your Darlings, was composed by Steve Combs.